Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another episode of Stunt Trek. I apologize. We had a little over a week off, and that's because there was a cyber attack against Blog Talk Radio's call-in server, and all the call-in lines are being scrambled and disrupted, and we had to cancel Stunt Trek last week. We had to cancel Trek Talking last week, and pretty much anything that was scheduled for last week had to be canceled until Blog Talk Radio was able to get the bugs out and get the system back up and running. So I do humbly and sincerely apologize for not having a Stunt Trek last week. However, we are back, and you may have noticed it is Sunday night at 7. We're back on our original night. We only moved to Tuesdays because I'm at camp for those 4 months. But once camp ended, which was last week, we moved back to our usual Sunday. So for the next 7 months, we will be here with you guys on Sunday night from 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So mark your calendar. You don't want to miss a single episode of Stunt Trek with D. Leslie Hoffman, Uncle Jim, and Admiral Ken. We will be here to discuss all kinds of fun and exciting Star Trek tidbits and facts with you. And we'll pick Leslie's brain and get all sorts of fun behind-the-scenes stuff, making-of stuff, all kinds of great stuff. You never know where we're going to meander off to once we start talking. Phone number here, 646-668-2433. We will be live, as I said, for the next hour. Give us a call. Just say hello. 646-668-2433 is the number. Or if you have a question, please give us a call and ask. The only dumb question is the question you don't ask. 646-668-2433. So, Leslie, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Like I say, it's been a while. We had one morning where it was 27 degrees. It's warmed up to maybe 30s in the morning and actually gets up maybe to the 50s during the day.
Yeah, I was watching the news. And when they showed the map of the Northeast, well, actually New England, because they don't consider New York part of that. But when they were showing it, Saranac Lake was the coldest point on the map. I think they came in at like 32, 31, something like that. It was cold.
Yeah. We actually have someone from Saranac Lake that lives down in Virginia. And his newspaper, whatever the weather page is on, lists the highest and the lowest cities in the United States. And every time, which is very often, he will circle Saranac Lake as the lowest, and he'll post it on Facebook.
I believe it. I notice when I look at the temperatures here and I see Rutland and I see New Hampshire, and I see all the temperatures up here in New England, usually Saranac Lake is right there at the bottom or the top, depending on how you want to look at it, with the lowest temperatures. It's just, and every time I see that in the news, I think of you. I turn to Karen and I say, yep, Leslie's freezing in the Kanakis off tonight. So we also have with us Admiral Ken, and he's way, way off in Albany, New York. How you doing tonight, Ken?
Okay, like I said, you know, I had a very eventful day today. You know, just a normal trip to church turned into a 2-hour hospital visit. So that was, you know, that was more than enough for today.
You never know what's going to happen in your day-to-day life, do you?
Yeah.
So tonight, we actually, the last show we had scheduled, we were going to talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. But since that was so long ago, we decided let's just hit the reset button and keep on going. So we're going to talk about Haven't I Seen You Before? People that we know from Star Trek, but are actually known for roles other than Star Trek. And perhaps some of these people, maybe Leslie has worked with, and she can give us some dirt about them, right? So let's start off with obviously, let's get the main, let's get the big elephant out of the way right off the top, right? Right? We're going to talk about TOS. Let's start with TOS. And let's get this guy right out of the way first, right off the bat.
I shall
leave you
as you left me.
Yeah, actually, this week's show is not about the lead actors in the show. We're talking about guest stars that have shown up on, like, maybe one episode, two episodes. But we hope to do...
Khan is yelling at you.
We hope to do a show where we are talking about lead actors, you know, what they've done in the past, and maybe another show of where they went after Star Trek. Anyways, okay, so TOS. Joan Collins was Edith Keeler on City of the Edge of Forever. But most people probably, when I talk about these people, I'm talking about non-Trekkers. Is that so? Most people, if you think about Joan Collins, you think about Dynasty.
Yeah, I.
And actually, believe it or not, I doubled Joan Collins on Flintstones Viva Las Vegas. She was a kind of to herself. I was pre-warned. I mean, we've talked about this in the past that you don't just go merrily tripping up to an actor and going, "Hi, how are you doing?" Blah, 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 you know, unless you want to get kicked off the set or something. I was pre-warned by, I don't know if this was like her assistant or something, was, you know, let her talk to you. She might have suggestions, but, you know, let her talk to you. And actually, she was very nice. She complimented what I did. She said, you know, like, if they do it again, I would have done this a little more. And you know, I just followed her instructions. So I got to say, once warned or pre-warned, I found Joan Collins to be very nice. Another person. Again,
now, Leslie, was Joan Collins... Was Joan Collins, was she the one in King Kong that he grabbed? Was Joan Collins the one that King Kong grabbed and climbed up the Empire State Building with in the original King Kong?
No, that was Fay Wray.
Oh, Fay Wray. My God, how could I mix that up?
Oh, okay, yeah, no, she was...
Wow, how did I confuse that?
Trying to remember
the episode
what
was, the episode
to remember
was
what,
if she had lived, the Nazis would have won World War II, and therefore she had to die. It was when McCoy accidentally got an overdose of whatever it was, and he just goes crazy, goes down to this planet, he jumps through this time portal.
Now,
used them.
I only know Joan Collins. I can't think, if you were going to pay me $1 million and said, other than City on the Edge of Forever, name something else that Joan Collins has ever been in, and I would lose $1 million.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of a single thing that I have seen her in other than Star Trek. That, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you said Joan Collins in Dynasty, everyone, again, people that would watch, I'm trying to think of what the other one was called. There was Dynasty and there was another one that almost was, you know, cookie cutter episode or cookie cutter. Show.
Dallas, maybe?
Dallas, right. Okay. There was Dynasty, there was Dallas, there was Falcon Crest. You know, if you were a person that watched any one of those three shows, you would automatically connect Joan Collins with Dynasty.
Hey, I unfortunately never watched any of those shows. How about you, Ken?
Actually, I didn't watch Dynasty either.
I can't admit to actually never necessarily watching a complete one, but yeah, I can admit to at least tuning in and watching parts of them on occasion.
I remember the whole Who Shot JR thing.
Right, exactly.
Other than that, I Joan Collins will always be Edith Keeler to me from City on the Edge of Forever. And you know what, though? I think that a lot of Star Trek fans would associate her with that because City on the Edge of Forever is probably one of the most famous classic Star Trek episodes ever. I mean, that's right up there with Trouble with Tribbles. I mean, that's like the quintessential Star Trek episode that every fan watches is City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah, well, didn't the story win, I don't know, an Emmy or
was it a Hugo Award?
The storyline definitely got a major recognition. I didn't look it up, but I know that one episode is, you know, has been awarded something.
actually, the real shocker, because I pulled it up on our friends at IMDb, the real shocker is prior to Star Trek, Joan Collins has a rather, I mean, she's got a lot listed prior to Star Trek. So even before Star, I mean, you know, Man from U.N.C.L.E., a lot of movies, 19 movies in the 60s, movies during the 50s, you know, all during the 50s and 60s, she obviously was a bit player in movies. So, yeah, she's probably got several dozen movies prior to Star Trek that she was in.
Oh,
and who wrote the original episode?
Well, again, this isn't going to probably mean that she was actually married to Anthony Newley, he wrote two plays that made it to Broadway. I mean, they're from England, but his two plays did play on Broadway. He also, if you saw the original Dr. Doolittle, with Rex Harrison. He was the Irishman. I can't think of what his character's name was, but excellent singer. Anyways, husband and wife. They did get divorced, but that's another story.
actually, and then again, if you go forward from Star Trek was actually probably, if you look at all her credits, probably Star Trek was not even halfway through. I mean, she was even in Space in 1999.
Wow.
in the
series. Well, the interesting thing is a lot of these, except the ones I picked happen to do television. But originally, before television really got hold, movie actors did not want to do television. I mean, and that's where this whole new set of other actors came from, because movie stars or movie actors refused to do it.
You know,
true story.
where does Ricardo Montalban fit into that? What wasn't he? Well,
when
he did Space Seed,
he was
already an established huge star at that time, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was a leading man in just movie after movie. I would have to look at IMDb to see what his first television show might have been, but
Fantasy Island?
I mean,
Deep Lane.
Oh, but that's later.
Oh, that was later.
Earlier.
If I had to really pick a show, it was Batman that actually got movie actors to come over and play the bad guys in Batman.
Okay, here we go. In 1966. He was in the TV series Combat. In 1966, he was in the Wild Wild West TV series. He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in 1964-66. He was in Dr. Bear. He was in Burke's Law. He was in The Defenders, Slattery's People, The Lieutenant, The Greatest Show on Earth, Ben Casey. The Untouchables he was in 61. So, yeah, which only proves sometimes, I think, the curse of Star Trek. With a lot of these actors, you don't realize what they did before they did Star Trek.
Right.
And even if you go forward from Star Trek, after Star Trek, Mission Impossible, I Spy, Ironside, It Takes a Thief, Name of the Game, Bracken's World, Marcus Welby, The Virginian, Rowan and Martin's Laughing, uncredited, even did a Disney feature in 72. So yeah, there's, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes he was in.
Oh, that's right. How come every time we talk, Leslie, we always end up on Planet of the Apes? Have you noticed that?
Really? I mean, he was in Hawaii 5-0.
I swear to God, Ken, when Leslie and I are talking, we always end up on Planet of the Apes. Am I right, Leslie?
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting is that I'm surprised Roddy McDowell never did a Star Trek.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure he would have been just excellent in any episode, but no, he didn't do Star Trek.
But he did do the voice of Vincent, Vital Information Necessary Centralized Robot, in Disney's The Black Hole in 1979. So he did delve into sci-fi a little bit as Vincent.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Here's a little bit of Ricardo Montalban trivia. What was the last of his TV credits?
Fantasy Island?
No, he would have been working past Fantasy Island.
No. Okay, Ricardo Montalban's last TV credit was in the Fox cartoon American Dad in 2000.
Wow, I never would have. I never would have guessed that.
He was also in Family Guy.
Wow.
So Seth MacFarlane must have really loved Ricardo. Well, Seth loves Star Trek, so I'm not surprised that he didn't ask Ricardo to do some voices.
Well, speaking of classic TV shows, Frank Gorshin, and people like, huh?
Right.
Who's that? Who's Frank Gorshin?
Yeah,
Leslie?
I mean, Frank Gorshin, I would say non-Trekkers would really remember him as the Riddler on Batman, but
yes.
he was the, what should I call him, the police or the one hunting down the black and white face guy in Let This Be Your Last Battlefield.
That's right. He's the guy that wanted to steal their ship or whatever that was, that interdimensional being.
Right. He took control of the Enterprise, trying to get the Enterprise and the supposed crook, or as opposed to calling him a crook, I'll call him a dissident. In other words, again, I don't remember which side was which, the black and the white, but where the other guy wanted equality for his kind of people, while Frank Gorshin is saying, "No, look at me, we're different. You know, I'm black on this side and white on this side. These people just have lower intelligence and this and that." And he's a criminal, and he's gone around to different planets and trying to incite people to side with him. So like I say, Frank was the military or the police trying to get this dissident. And then they get back to the planet, and you know, everybody was dead except these two.
Right. Yeah, that episode has that great line where he says, "Can't you see we're different?" And Spock says, "No. You're black on one side and white on the other." And he says, "I'm white on the left and he's black on the left. Can't you see that?" And everyone's like, "What are you talking about, dude?" Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And actually, again, how people sometimes sort of mix up or transpose things. Like, for example, he was the Riddler before he was in Star Trek. Now, a lot of people would remember it the other way around. But, yeah, he was the Riddler 2 years before he was in Star Trek. He was also another one that did mostly TV. Not that many movies that I can see. Not as many as some of the other ones. He was in The Munsters TV series.
Oh, really? He did an episode of The Munsters? I guess I missed that one.
1960.
Well, Frank Gorshin really was more of a stand-up comedian, but you know, you cross the field. I mean, so maybe you work in nightclubs, but you also do television and movies, and I mean,
you
tend to be all around.
He did one episode of The Munsters in, like I said, 1966. He was apparently a car salesman.
Wow.
Thank you. And once again, thank you to IMDb for giving us all these wonderful little hints, because none of us would remember any of this stuff.
The next guy that we're going to talk about, I know. When I put his birthday up on our Facebook page, people were shocked when they learned this, because this next guy that we're going to mention, I think, is so identified with his titular role, lead role that he played on one of those many 70s cop shows, that when people hear that he was on Star Trek, they're like, what? Jump back. He wasn't on Star Trek. I'm like, yes, he was. And of course, we're talking about Starsky and Hutch, and we're talking about David Soul. Now, David Soul was in an episode of Star Trek called The Apple. And he was one of those, the people that was, whether that looked like a giant Oompa Loompa from Willy Wonka.
Yeah, really.
Right?
Yeah.
They had the red faces with the white makeup on the eyes and mouth, except they had these little antennas on their neck, like where Frankenstein would have his bolts. And that's how they received messages from this giant snake-like computer.
My favorite scene in that episode was when he's trying to explain to the other villagers, this is how you kill somebody. Well, I don't think he said the word kill, but, you know, he he takes this club or something, and I don't know, it was some kind of fruit or something, and he's showing them, you know, and you do this, smash.
And again, his actually doesn't go, obviously, he's much, much younger. His doesn't go really far back, as far back as some of the others. But David Soul was also in addition to Star Trek, was also in I Dream of Jeannie and Flipper.
And don't forget Salem's Lot.
Well, that came later again.
I mean, yeah, that movie scared the living bejesus out of me. And now when I watch it, I'm like, I laugh at it. I was like, why did that scare me so much? I just don't get it. But he was in the Stephen King TV show, or TV movie, Salem's Lot.
Right after Starsky and Hutch, Salem's Lot, 1979.
And, of course, on Star Trek, The Apple, he played Macora. He was the lead male act, I don't know, Apollonian? I don't even know what you'd call these people. I don't remember what their race was.
His character name was Macora, but yeah.
But the race with the red faces and the white makeup, I don't know what they were called. But he was the lead male, and then there was a lead female then, and they learned how to kiss because they watched Chekhov and whatnot. And interesting episode, to say the least.
Right. It's like, where do babies come from? Or Well, he also was the only one that had this, like, little antenna sticking out of his ear.
Yeah, he
because that was the way the computer talked to him. And then he would tell the villagers what needed to be done.
Yeah, that was the episode with the exploding rocks, wasn't it?
Yes, that's really funny because that's what I was when on H&I or Handy TV, whatever you want to call it, and they're doing the commercials for, you know, this is the Star Trek channel. One of their commercials is that, you know, if you're a red shirt, something, 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 and they always show this scene of this red shirt running and stepping on the white rock and it explodes.
Boom. Yeah, that's the apple. You know, why was the thing shaped like a giant snake with fangs? I never could understand that. And why does the computer need food? I never could get that.
Maybe it was the first use of recyclables. I don't know. Maybe it, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, why would the computer call the villagers and say, bring me apples, pears, coconuts, and bananas? And then they pile all this stuff in buckets and drop it off inside this giant snake.
They burn it up and produce electricity.
That could be.
I don't... I view it as whether the computer was using it or not, it it just kept people in line. You know, you had to sacrifice to the computer. I mean, if you go to the Bible, and I'm talking about the Bible, I mean, you know, there was goats and doves and whatever being sacrificed. I don't think God reached down and grabbed the goat or the dove and ate it, but it was a way to keep people in line that you're sacrificing to a supreme being.
Yeah,
I hope I'm not.
Back in the days of you know, Moses and Abraham and whatever, yeah, when you gave something to the priest, we were actually talking about this in another context today. Yeah, when you gave something to the priest, like a dove or a pig or a calf or a goat or something, to be sacrificed, I mean, more often than not, when the people's backs were turned, the priest actually ate the stuff. I mean, that's how they got fed.
Now, is this one of the first episodes where Captain Kirk talks a computer into self-destructing itself? Possibly.
Okay, I'm having an audio problem here. Let me see if I can correct. Hold on a second.
Yep, no problem.
Do you want to start talking about Sally Kellerman, and let me see if I can fix my problem?
Yeah. So, Sally Kellerman, she was in the, depending on how you look at it, the pilot episode of Star Trek that's not the pilot episode of Star Trek. You know, the pilot episode
was
Cage that they didn't like. They didn't use it. So then they made a second pilot of Star Trek, Where No Man Has Gone Before. But then they aired Mantrap as the first episode. So technically Mantrap is the pilot, and Where No Man Has Gone Before is episode two, even though they are backwards in production numbers. We can argue about the semantics of that. But at any rate, Sally Kellerman was in the second pilot that was not aired as the pilot. And, you know, she was Dr. Elizabeth Denner, and she's the one that got the psychic abilities. Her eyes turned gold or silver when they crossed through the Great Barrier at the edge of the galaxy. And then she battles Gary Mitchell and actually saves everybody. But she was actually in a really big movie in the 70s. I mean, a big, big movie, a huge movie in the 70s. It was so huge that it caused a television show to be made that I think ran for just about 10 years or so. And I'm talking about MASH, of course. And she played Hot Lips Houlihan in the original movie, not on the TV show, but in the movie before.
Right.
She was a pretty big actress at the time. Oh, Leslie's back. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, it was. I wear hearing aids, and I don't know. Somehow both batteries died at the same time.
It's those damn dirty eights.
And all of a sudden, your voice just goes, whoop, and you're gone. But I'm back. I changed the batteries. I'm back. Learn the
lesson.
Change the batteries before you start a show.
And actually, like I said, you know, Sally Kellerman is another one that, I mean, she was in, before Star Trek, she was in gobs of television. I mean, matter of fact, actually,
yeah,
that's, if you look at her, again, if you look at her credits, I think there's only, out of maybe a couple of dozen TV shows, there's only like two movies. I mean, again, she was in My Three Sons, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, 12 O'Clock High, Ben Casey, I Spy. And then you start doing the credits after Star Trek. No, but yeah, she was so mostly TV, where her credits are. She was in the Invaders TV show. Hawaii 5-0 she was in. Mannix.
She's been around too.
Like I said, mostly TV. She was in Bonanza. I mean, you know.
Now, another actor that I saw on Star Trek that I recognized, although he did Star Trek first, but I recognized him from another show, is John Colicos. And he played Kor on TOS. But I know him as Boltar from Battlestar Galactica. And, he was on Star Trek first and then, you know, Battlestar Galactica, but he's been on a lot of stuff as well. He, of course, would reprise that role on Deep Space Nine, except he grew ridges. So he went for the ruffles look. He didn't like the lays look. He went for the ridges for Deep Space Nine. But a lot of actors that you saw, I think that was big back in the 60s and 70s, where shows would tout their guest stars. And, you know, sometimes, just sometimes, I think a guest star would be more known for their guest spot on Star Trek than maybe other stuff that they had done. Perfect example is Gary, we were just talking about Where No Man Has Gone Before, Gary Mitchell, who's the name of the actor, escapes me right now. Bum, ba, bum, bum, bum.
Gary Lockwood.
He was in probably the most definitive sci-fi movie, the biggest sci-fi movie. I think the sci-fi movie that started all sci-fi movies. He was in 2001, A Space Odyssey. And bigger of a credit to your name than that. I think that 2001, A Space Odyssey, although it's not really popular among fans. A lot of people, it's a very, what's the word I'm looking for, Ken? How would you describe that movie?
Cultish. It's an art, not entirely, but almost bordering on like an art film. I mean, yeah, it's one of the running gag with 2001, A Space Odyssey, is that no one except for Arthur C. Clarke and Stanley Kubrick know what the last 20 minutes means.
It's a very cerebral movie. I know Karen hates it. I won't even watch it. Hates it with a passion. She puts it in the same category as Star Trek, the motion picture, just a long, boring movie. But I love it. I've read the book probably a dozen times trying to understand it. I still don't understand it. But if you look at that movie, it stands up so well, even with all today's CGI. And I think if they took that movie and just threw a little bit of touch up, like for instance, yes, there's no sound in space. We understand that. We know that. But watching a ship fly across the surface of the moon in utter silence is boring. Throw some sound effects in there. You know, let's hear some rockets. Let's hear some, put some noise in that movie, just even though it's not realistically scientific, but just a little bit of sound effects here and there would have really spiced that movie up quite a bit. But yeah, he was actually in that movie before he did Star Trek.
Now, prior to Star Trek, he was in another famous TV show. I realize, of course, it's hard for us to grasp, but there are shows that are famous other than Star Trek.
Jump Back. No. Don't go
no,
there.
I know. I'm almost talking heresy here. But he was also in The Lieutenant.
Another Gene Roddenberry production.
Lieutenant, which is probably where the connection was, why he got the role on Star Trek. He was also, again, Perry Mason TV show. Basically, Death Valley days, Perry Mason. Not as many movies. Again, another mostly mostly TV star. Very, very
now,
few.
Who else from TOS? I think we have just about 14 minutes left. I think next week we'll continue this conversation and we'll move on to TNG. So let's finish
right.
off the show and stick on TOS. Are there any other guest stars that you guys can think of that were on TOS that went on to bigger and better things, or that were on bigger and better things before TOS?
Michael Ansara.
Michael
Darby
Ansara,
and
another.
Mary.
It's Michael Ansara.
Yeah,
Kim
Michael
Darby
Ansara,
and
another
Mary.
Klingon. Yep. And who was that? Who played that actress, Mary?
No, that
was
Kim Darby, who
yeah,
went on to True Grit.
Yes. Yes. You're right. Yep.
Or Clint Howard, who is Ron
Clint
Howard's
yes.
brother.
He played Balok in Corbinite Maneuver.
Corbinite Maneuver.
And he actually came back. He was on Discovery as well as an Orion slave trader on the Klingon homeworld.
Right.
he's the one that drugs Tilly and steals the planet bomb from her. They kind of stuck him in there and figured Star Trek fans wouldn't notice, but you can't get that by us. We caught it. And what about Harry Mudd?
Roger Carmel.
Yeah,
he
must have.
Yeah, no. I mean, just like I say, I want to compare it to Batman. Is that? I mean, you had working actors that. I mean, either had a long list before they were on Star Trek, or they had an extremely long list after Star Trek, or both. I mean,
now, when Star Trek came out, I'm not sure because this is before my time, but I did hear when Jamie Lee Curtis did Halloween, I remember hearing her say that she was on contract with the studio and they had to use her because she was under contract. When Star Trek was out in the late 60s, did they have contracts with these actors and that's why they had to have them on the shows? Was that a pretty common practice when Star Trek was on air? Or was
yeah.
that, did that had that
well,
come and gone by that time?
It's sort of, there are two parts to that. Is that, yeah, there, you know, there was studio contract players that if you were signed with Paramount or if you were signed with 20th Century, well, like I say, if you look at all the Aaron Spelling shows, you'll see the same actors on Love Boat or Fantasy Island or Charlie's Angels. I mean, like I say, they're all Bernie Coppell, who was the doctor on Love Boat, actually was a guest star on Fantasy Island, and I worked with him on Fantasy Island. And yet I also worked, I wasn't a contract player, but I also worked Charlie's Angels, Love Boat, the Aaron Spelling shows. I worked all of those shows. So now more for actors, the other thing is, and this isn't quite as true anymore, is you had, like, big-name casting directors, like Lynn Stallmaster, or I forget how you pronounce the last name, is that, so if a casting director happens to really like you, and they're casting all these different shows for Paramount or whatever studio, you know, they'll read it. They get the script from the producer. They read the script. And if they have someone that they've used in the past and they know that producers in the past have liked, they will hire that person again. Or I can't say casting directors don't hire. They suggest. So So you know, let's say they really like whatever, David Soul, and so they would say to whoever, you know, hey, I think someone that would be really good for this part is David Soul. And the producer would more than likely take that suggestion.
And again, one of the more recent examples of that, again, not so much studio system, but if you look at Tim Burton films, a lot of the actors and actresses in Tim Burton films are the same actors and actresses. Like I said, like for example, one of my favorites, Helena Bonham Carter. I mean, she's in virtually every Tim Burton film you could name in one way or another.
Well,
it's like
they also happen to live together.
Yeah.
But she is an excellent actress. She's an excellent actress. And they ended up living together for a while. They have separated. You know, that always helps as well. But she
yeah,
has,
I would think
I mean,
that
she was in the Harry Potter
connection.
Movies.
Oh, that's right. She was Bellatrix Lamotte. Bella.
Yes.
Yeah, she was the evil woman there.
Yes.
Right, right. Oh, she was absolutely vicious. And you wouldn't recognize her because it's CGI, but she was in the new Planet of the Apes, which I don't remember the character's name.
Here we are back on Planet of the Apes again. See what I'm talking about?
Doomed forever to talk about Planet
of the Apes. Planet of the Apes.
She actually played the really sexy ape.
I adore her. I think she's a fantastic actress.
I love Helen. Like I said, I often my thing with Helena Bonham Carter is again going off into the area where I'm just getting Jim involved in. I would think that she would make, and of course again Jodie Whittaker now is fantastic in the role. But I would have thought she would have made a female Doctor Who. I mean, I mean, think about it for just a second. I mean, she's always playing these loopy, bigger than life, completely insane characters. I mean, it's like a marriage made in heaven.
Well, who knows? Maybe she'll be the next Doctor Who.
Yes, but really, I'm constantly hard lobbying to get her in Doctor Who.
Yeah, if you guys don't remember, in the 2001 Planet of the Apes that Charlton Heston was in as well, she played the sexy ape. I mean, like of all the apes, she was the sexy ape. You know, she was the one that you're like, bestiality? I'll give it a try. You know, she was the one. You know, if you were going to go interspecies, it was going to be with her.
Oh, yeah.
She was the best-looking ape I've ever seen. I mean, I'm not knocking apes. I'm just saying.
Well, she's done she's done as an actress, but she's also done, as you say, CGI. She's been the voice on Tim Burton's films.
I'm trying to think of she's done a couple.
She is an all-around actress.
Yeah. And what can I say?
I mean,
I'll confess it now on the radio. I love her utterly. If she's listening.
But has she ever been on Star Trek?
You know, well, what I was just going to bring up is that, I wonder because Star Trek Discovery is being filmed in Canada. I wonder if she would ever come over from England and be in a Canadian show.
Oh. Well, hey, we're broadcasting worldwide. Maybe she's listening to this one. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
And if she does, remember, it came from us. We want some royalties. We want a cut.
That's right. We want credit.
We want a piece of the action.
Really, you know?
Right.
Oh, boy. So who else has guest starred on Star Trek that we would know from other shows? We got just about five minutes to go here.
If I knew this was just going to be a TOS episode, I would have really gone into all the different... Susan Oliver. She unfortunately died very young, but Susan Oliver in The Cage, The Menagerie, I mean, she had until she unfortunately passed away early, I mean, she had a career, a pretty amazing career.
Now, what was she in besides being Vina?
Right.
Dude, you don't want to open up that box of what she was in past Star Trek. Trust me, I'm scrolling through it now.
Well, anything notable that we would know?
Hold on a second. Let me check. Interesting. It doesn't have her credited for Star Trek. Why does it not have Susan Oliver credited for Star Trek? I have no idea.
Well, it didn't actually. The episode actually never really physically aired on television, so I don't know if it counts as a real episode.
Yeah. I think that may happen. But it should be there.
Sometimes you have to open up the different sections of the IMDb, but it should be there. And since we're talking about The Menagerie or The Cage, Jeffrey Hunter was a major movie star. I mean, and also he played Jesus Christ in King of Kings. I don't remember which title it was, but he definitely played Jesus Christ.
But again, back to Susan Oliver for a second. Let me see. Elias Smith and Jones, Longstreet, Night Gallery, Gunsmoke.
Oh, Night Gallery used to scare me to death. That was totally different from Twilight Zone.
Cannon, FBI, The Magician, Barnaby Jones, Petrocelli, Streets of San Francisco with, I can't remember his name. She did Love Boat, but then again, everybody did Love Boat. I don't think there's a singer actor alive who been in love with at some point. She was in Magnum. P.I.
Did she play? Did she play his mustache? No.
I don't know. Let me see. Character name: Laurie Crane. Episode 1985. Magnum P.I. Let Me Hear the Music. She was in Murder, She Wrote, which meant she got killed by
Okay,
Fletcher.
So if you're looking at the IMDb page, if you look at 1966, you'll see Star Trek TV series Vina, The Cage, 1966 Vina. Right below that, I guess she was a regular on Peyton Place, and above that, she was on.
They just had it sort of somewhat out of. Yeah, okay, now I see it. Yeah, Peyton Place. My Three Sons, Tarzan, the TV series. And then before Star Trek, Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle, U.S., MC. She was in Dr. Kildare, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Ben Casey.
Well, that's interesting. In 1965, it was... The soap opera started in 65, but she played Laura Spencer Horton from 1975 to 1976. So she actually even did soaps besides television, episodic television, or, you know, shows.
Wow.
And like I said, her last credit was Her last credit was 1988. Freddy's Nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what's funny about that show? It's called Freddy's Nightmares, and there's no Freddy. Go figure.
What do you mean there's no Freddy?
Okay. So,
there was
so
no
this
Freddy.
Is what I would say, or, this is what I remember. And just look. So she was diagnosed with cancer in late 1989. She ended up at the Motion Picture Television Home, which probably means that she had no one to take care of her. So she ended up at the Actors Home, and she was only 58 years old.
Wow. Wow, that's wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I
hate to add the show and the show on a sad note like that,
she died in 1990.
We are out of time.
Let's put it this way: is that once you're on Star Trek, you're going to live forever.
Yeah,
that's true. That's very true.
Maybe you're not still walking the earth, but boy, you go to television and there you are.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
We'll live forever
and enjoyed. Yeah, fans will always enjoy her.
Next episode, we didn't get a chance to get to it, but next week, same bat time, same bat channel, guys. Remember, we're now on Sundays. Okay, that's our new time. Well, our usual time, I should say, Sundays. And we are going to be doing TNG. We're going to be talking about actors that are on TNG that we may know from other shows or other things that they've done, or actors that were on TNG and went on to become more popular on other shows. That'll be next Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you set your DVR. You don't want to miss a show. And the number here is 646-668-2433. Give us a call and ask Leslie a question. She loves to answer questions. Make sure that you visit the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. Just drop by and say hello. If you're looking for an autograph, Leslie's got some over there. You can check them out as well. Make sure you check out our Trek Talkin' and Beyond Facebook page and tune into Trek Talkin' Thursday night, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're talking about Star Trek Short Treks, The Trouble with Edward, the Tribble episode. You don't want to miss that. It's Thursday night. And I think that's pretty much it. That wraps up our show this week. So it was fun as usual. And maybe, who knows, maybe one of these days we'll actually do a Planet of the Apes show. Who knows? We end up talking about Planet of the Apes all the time. Maybe we'll do a show on Planet of the Apes. Then we'll end up talking about Star Trek. Who knows? Anyways, I want to say thank you to the one and only Leslie Hoffman for hanging out with us and sharing your knowledge and experience and stories with us. Leslie, thank you very much.
Oh, it's always fun. I missed you guys. Let's see. I guess I've been on a forced hiatus for what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks now.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be back.
And it's good to have you back too, because we can't do the show without the Leslie Hoffman. So that's great. And also thank you to the Admiral Ken for hanging out and chatting with us and sharing some memories with us
as well.
Thank
you, of course, particular circumstance, to our fourth guest, imdb.com, otherwise who made us look brilliant somehow.
Yeah, well, it's not very difficult to do that, though, is it?
Well, yeah.
And listen, I want to say goodnight to everybody, and that we'll be back on Tuesday night.
Good night, everybody.
Keep your damn dirty hands off me, you filthy apes. And did I sound like Charlton Heston?
I don't even know. The stump double ran through Poison Ivy, well, you know, while he was doubling Charlton Heston. That was not a fun experience.
So listen, guys, we'll be back next week. Please tune in. Please check out the Facebook page. Just say hello. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks for listening. You guys mean the world to us, and we'll see you all next week. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.